Are you ready to branch out, to take a leap of faith, to love yourself and others fully? Then let go of whatever no longer serves you to take action now on Get Rooted Radio with Erica Gifford Mills, living it up, loving it up, and letting it go. Erica will energize and excite you to power up your passionate dream that sets your soul on fire. With Erica's E3 approach, equipping, empowering, and enlightening yourself so you can be yourself for yourself. Get ready and get rooted to live a life without regrets, without what ifs, without should haves, and especially without empty feelings from a life unexplored. This hit show helps you build powerful and intentional roots to live it up, love it up, and let it go. Get fearlessly ready and powerfully rooted in your yes with your host, Erica Gifford Mills, and be fearless about your more and stand in your yes now on Get Rooted Radio.
Welcome, everyone. I am Erica Gifford Mills, and you are listening to Get Rooted Radio, living it up, loving it up, letting it go, right here on Transformation Talk Radio. A big shout out, as always, to our producer, Jacob. Hey, Jacob, how are you doing?
Doing very well today, Erica. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. I got unexpected calls the past couple of days from my son, which is wonderful. I got one during the week, and I got another one yesterday, and those are few and far between sometimes, and so it's certainly made my weekend.
Love that.
So now today we are talking about leadership, and Jacob, I want to ask you, what does leadership mean to you?
For me, I think leadership is this idea of ownership. And I think it's being someone who's able to take responsibility for whatever the task might be, or whether it is something you're trying to create or something you're trying to guide people in. And then being the one that people can look to and kind of knowing yourself, being prepared, being very communicative, and ultimately just being able to take responsibility for however this event or thing pans out, whether or not it goes well or kind of falls on its face.
I love that. Now a little bit more of a loaded question. Do you see a difference with women in leadership?
You know, I think I see a difference in the way that women are treated as leaders, which is unfortunate because oftentimes I've found that a lot of the qualities that women bring in leadership are stronger than men that I've worked with, or I've seen qualities in the way that they lead that I want to adopt for myself. And it's a shame that I think so many women get pushed to the side or kind of looked down on as leaders. And that's, you know, an unfortunate thing in society, but I think that we're working on that, which is good.
I love that answer. And folks, he didn't know I was going to ask that. So I didn't tee him up. I didn't give him a little softball for him to lob. And it was a loaded question, but that is what we're going to be talking about today, is women in leadership. And in an episode that we're calling The Shadow King, the invisible force that holds women back. And my guest today, Christopher Weber First, will say it himself. What does a middle-aged white guy know about women in leadership? And let me tell you, he knows a lot. A little bit about Christopher before we get into things is he is a highly professional international coach, federation accredited coach, serving organizations at top management and executive level with over 19 years and over 7,000 hours of global coaching and consulting experience. Christopher's practical experience in management is based on 22 years of running his own industrial business, his years as sales and managing director in the IT industry, and on 19 years of running his own coaching business. Please help me welcome Christopher Weber First. Thank you so much for joining us, especially given the late hour in Germany.
Thank you. When you're summoning up all that I've done, it seems like I must be so old.
No, because, you just have experience.
Yeah, but you know, something presented in this way sounds pretty good. What I've been doing for the last 45 years. So thank you for introducing me.
No, thank you so much for joining. And before we jump into women and leadership discussion, tell me how you got into coaching and the areas of women leadership and diversity.
Well, obviously, it has something to do with my personal story. So ever since I was a little boy, growing up in a typical Norwegian home, shortly after the war. And the role models then were very clear. The man was the one who was outside doing the work, and the mother was at home. And my mother was really bright, really intelligent. So she wanted to make her own career then, which was not very appreciated by my father. And so she was really unhappy. And me as a little boy, I could understand that. So with all the intuition of a little child, a little boy, I kind of tapped into her world and became her beloved in a sense that I was there to support her. So already when I was a little boy, I could really feel the unfairness of the role that women had to play already then. And so later on in my life, I would experience that all over the place in education, in the workplace. And I decided this is what is going to be my life purpose already then.
And that is amazing. And, you know, having a son myself, you see that, right? You see, and that's what we want to teach the future, right? Female, male, everybody is that to uplift. And in Martin Luther King Day here is, you know, we rise by lifting others up. And having that intuition at such a young age really sets you on an incredible path. And I know for all of us women out here, we appreciate that.
Well, it's amazing actually how we define ourselves as a human being, just by thinking, you know, what kind of a sex do we have? So obviously we are men and women, but how do we define ourselves psychologically? It's much more how we define ourselves. How are we connected to our feminine side and how are we connected to our masculine side? And all the research, we know that we are much more alike than we're different. And we seem to forget that in our way of how we perceive each other as male and female. Just by using those words, we tend to unconditionally and competently define that we have to behave in a certain way according to the other gender.
Yes. And even though we are alike in many ways, we are different. However, that's a good thing, right? Differences can lead to different results. And there are ways to say, yes, we are different. Some people are better at doing things than others, whether you're male or female or what it might be. So your perspective really gives you a different and unique approach. So tell us about your team training approach and philosophy.
Well, first of all, we have to look into the kind of stereotypical way of how we identify ourselves as gender, which is really just a part of our story, and how this story has been conveyed to us, which we sort of just believe because this is what we've been told. But new research today, when it comes to archaeology, has a very different approach to what was the past like when it came to what was it like to be a woman. So women in the past for the 6,000 years had a very different role than most people think about today. And also when it comes to gender research on neuroscience on the brain, we have been taught that we are so different when it comes to that our brain are different. This is not true. This is just such a bad research, and it's called neurosexism. but it's just that we have learned, and we know this from decades of research through neuroscience, that everything we believe about ourselves, the brain processes that according to what we've been taught about how we are supposed to behave, which is actually just a mental construct. And that's the part of how I work, to try to identify who are you really beyond these constructs, which is the real you. The other you, which is a mental construct, is what I call the false self. So this is the beginning to understand beyond our mental constructs, who am I really, which is based on your core values, which you're not born with, which you develop when you grow up, to understand what's really important for me. What's so important for me that I'm willing to take the consequences of taking choices based on these core beliefs. And then we are much more than our ego. We are much more than that. So
yes.
In my work, I also talk about the soul. So we have a soul. And what you want from yourself is based on the future, on your values and the dreams of the soul. So this concept, it's scientifically based, and I've been working with this for the last 6 years with huge success, particularly with women, to come to realization. I am not that stereotypical woman that I thought I was. And the breakthrough, I had this coaching today with a woman who was having a very difficult conversation with her boss. And she called me afterwards and said, I'm born in you after the coaching. It's like I died and I got alive again. And this is something is happening inside me that I've never experienced. And to be able to see that is just a beautiful experience.
And that's what I think a lot of us need to remember is just because you can break the, you know, the patterns, right? Just because your generation or the generation before or the before that did it in a certain way, that doesn't mean you have to. You can, and that's what it's about, being unique, right? Being yourself and being true to yourself, having that authenticity and knowing who you are. And that's a very big, very big question, right? Is who am I?
Yeah.
And that, I mean, that goes so deep. I mean, and it's not something that you're going to find out in one coaching session or one afternoon. It can sometimes be a lifelong pursuit.
It is a lifetime pursuit, and it's a lifetime learning, and the process is so exciting. When you found out there's something in here for me, because I feel inside me there's so much more in me, but there's something holding me back, and I'm afraid, I have anxiety to go out and in the world and be really who I am, and that is what I call the shadow king, the invisible force that holds women back.
And I love that. I love that terminology, because it is, it's something back in the shadows, right? That's over you, right? And so it's something that we need to start coming away from and stop the rulership, right? That is that shadow king.
It's like sometimes I said, it's like the air that we breathe, it is there, but you don't notice it. So it is like so important for us to survive and to live the lives we live, but we're not aware of it. And I mean, it is also a part of the life of men, as men, but it has a very different connotation to how women experience themselves, having to obey the rules of the shadow king, which is the inner patriarch. It's the rule of the father, which women have been taught directly or indirectly through the way that you have been brought up. Just so you know, Simone de Beauvoir, the French famous philosopher, she said, you're not born a woman, you become one. So if you think about that, you are being raised, and we know this from neuroscience, everything that we believe about ourselves, we have learned from the outside in.
Yep, absolutely.
So this work is about accepting it is what it is, but I can do something with it, and I can train this muscle, because that's what coaching do, right?
Yep.
In sports, there's a muscle we need to train. And if you're willing to train to become the best version of yourself, well, you know, go out and do it and train and do it, and you become yourself.
I love it. So let's take a quick break on that note. And when we come back, we're going to talk about female leadership. But before we go, Christopher, you have a giveaway for our listeners.
I do. And I have been to the state a couple of times to be a keynote speaker from the Professional Women Network. And I even was in the United Nations to talk about how to accelerate female leadership. And so I wrote a couple of books, and I have a chapter which I wrote for the Professional Women Network publishing. And it's called How Not to Lose Yourself in a Male Environment. And that is my giveaway.
Yep. So just contact us here at the show. Let us know your email address and your name, and we will get a copy of that out to you. So you are listening. Go ahead.
And I'm also willing, if someone wants a chemistry session, coaching, Zoom session, because they're curious, I'd love to do that.
Wonderful. So tell folks how they can reach you.
Yeah, well, they can reach me through just Google my name, Christopher Weber first, and then they will find the information that they need.
Wonderful. You are listening to Get Rooted Radio with Erica Gifford Mills. Living it up, loving it up, letting it go. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Welcome to Soul Activation Podcast, a world-class broadcast of insight and inspiration with the renowned healer and coach, Suzanne Alexandria. In this series, she dives deep into the magical sea of you, to the place in you that's ready to activate. Tune in live every second and fourth Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. shiftingthecollective.com. Have you heard about shifting the collective vibration and consciousness on the planet? Join me, Kimberly Barrett, on the Sharing Love and Light show every first and third Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern at transformationtalkradio.com to explore the depth of vibration and consciousness on our planet and learn how you can shine your love and light. To learn more, visit sharingloveandlightshow.com.
Champion your life with me, Leanne Champion, first and third Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. That new gym membership might help you get fit, but what about emotional fitness? Jump into the rushing waters of personal growth. Don't waste another minute feeling unfulfilled. Visit ChampionYourLife.com and let's do this together.
You've been listening, but are you watching? Tune in to your favorite shows on the Transformation Talk Radio Facebook page. We stream live video podcasts every day.
Welcome back to Get Rooted Radio with Erica Gifford Mills, living it up, loving it up, letting it go. If you missed any portion of today's episode, you can catch it on GetRootedRadio.com. That's GetRootedRadio.com. Don't forget to subscribe online to receive the latest news, events, specials, and words of encouragement. Go to GetRootedRadio.com. Thank you again for joining us all the way from Germany this evening, Christopher. It has been a real treat to have you on the show.
It's been a real treat to be invited to talk about what I'm so passionate about, and which is basically what I think is the most important issue in the world right now, after the pandemic, after the lockdown. And it's so much talk about the new working place. It's so much talk about diversity. And let's be honest, diversity today is about accelerating female leadership.
Oh, absolutely. Couldn't agree with you more. And as Christopher mentioned during the last segment, we are both part of the same organization called Professional Women Network, or PWN. And we have both been in a number of collaboration books, and you wrote a book, and the core issue is on female leadership. What, in your view, is the essence of female leadership?
Well, first, I think we have to talk about why is it that it's so hard for most organizations to do anything to accelerate female leadership? And it's what we call, why is it that these qualities, they kind of disappear in an organization? Well, it has to do with the traditional history of the hierarchical organization, which is based on male way of thinking. It's based on individual merits. It's based on individual bonuses. It's based on left brain thinking, which is so constituted in our way of thinking that we don't even think about what does it really take for an organization to produce as its optimum. And that's the female qualities, which is the glue that holds people together, which are the qualities, the values, and we go the extra mile to serve each other, to be better together. So you know, it's kind of a paradox that the qualities that we need to be a great organization where people thrive, where people love to work, they disappear because it's not the way we're thinking an organization should work.
Yes.
Yeah, so let's talk about the female qualities. It's actually the collective intelligence. Women are far more collective intelligence, which means that we think for the better, for the whole. So a slogan could be better together. So it's about caring, it's about creating trust, it's about creating hope, it's about creating stability. It's about going to, you know, in South Africa, they have this beautiful language called Ubuntu. And the main purpose of Ubuntu is to bring the other into existence. You know, it's my position as an employee, as a leader, to bring the other, whatever kind of position I am, whatever kind of relationship that I'm developing, it's my role to bring the other into existence, which is we call to bring you in as a subject, not as an object. And that requires a female way of thinking.
Yes.
That's what we call it, motherly leadership. You know, it's a kind of way to raise kids.
And it's important because it's not about the me mentality, right? It's the, what am I doing to get myself ahead? It's what are we doing together to get all of us to a better place? And I think that is very important, especially right now. And I think, you know, there's a question about, you know, why are we even thinking about female leadership now in this moment? And this could be why, right? We are all so torn apart and so fragmented. We need to come together. So in your view, I mean, is that why we're even talking about female leadership and thinking about it so much, especially in diversity and everything right now?
You know, in Europe, there's a very famous book being released called Reinventing Organization, written by a consultant working with McKinsey. And I'm not sure if it's so well known in the States, but this guy did an amazing job to try to explain why is it that so many organizations are doing so badly when it comes to return on investment, when it comes to recruiting, and all the major business issues. And he comes to this conclusion that the old hierarchical way that the organizations are organized today, that it doesn't work anymore. And why is that? And that this is the great clue that we as humankind, as part of the human evolution, I mean, if you think about 400,000 years ago and up till today, humankind, we have evolved immensely, and it happens in an exponential way. So now we are evolving and transforming. And transforming is very different than change. We are transforming to a higher level of consciousness. And this higher level of consciousness, which is happening to the whole world, includes more of the female values. And we know this from research. It's been done so much work on finding out what is it that people really want in this world. And written famous books, one book called The Athena Doctrine, why women and men who think like them will save the world. And we have Greta Thunberg, the famous Swedish climate activist, which I met in Davos in 2018. The challenges that we're experiencing in the world requires a total way of thinking, a total new way of thinking, a radical new way of thinking. And in my view, that is female leadership done in a particular way, done in a strategic, positive, right way, because you cannot just say, oh, let's have some more female leaders. That does not work. It has to be done strategically, full-heartedly supported by the top management of the CEO. And because the CEO has to be on this mature level so that he or she understands we are doing this for the best of our company. We are doing it the best for our country. We're doing it for the best for the world. And we have a noble purpose. We through our collective intelligence, through our collective way of working together, we have something to offer to the world that the world needs. And we need this in order to save this planet, to save humankind. Maybe that's sign apocalyptic, but we have to be real. We are facing serious challenges. And as long as the politicians are not really following up on that issue, think about the opportunities that the business could have. So let's do it.
Yes, absolutely. And I think it's very important, as you said, it's not about meeting quotas. It's not about doing that. It's about doing it strategically with the better purpose, right? What are you trying to achieve? And if we can't have, you know, history repeats itself because we're not looking at history, you know, how do we make that stop? And I think, you know, it's very obvious that we see discrepancies, and especially you into male leadership, female versus male leadership. How would you discern between male and female leadership styles?
Well, traditional, we call the male leadership style transactional, which is there's a cause, we have the problem, we have to solve it.
Yes.
The female is transformational. So the transformational way of looking at it is looking at the whole. Okay, so this is not about one person or one issue. It's about the systemic way of thinking. It's about the collective way of thinking. And we need to look at the reason. Why did this happen? And how can we solve it together? Which is a very different way of leadership. It might take longer time to solve the problem, but the solution will be much better than just solving the problem in a linear way.
Yes, and I always tell people, coming from a corporate background, You know, you look, people look at it and it's like, oh yeah, we fixed it. I'm like, did you fix it? Or did you put a Band-Aid on it? What was the root cause, right? Yes, you might have stopped the bleed, which sometimes you need to, right? You need to immediately stop that issue. But then you do need to stop and go back and say, what is the underlying issue? What is that root cause? What is your remediation plan to fix it so it doesn't happen again? Otherwise, you're just going to have a broken pipe with a bunch of tape on it, and it's going to eventually explode. So, and I think that is I love the transactional versus transformational, because it is very true. It is a very different style, and sometimes people don't like it because it does take longer. But in the long run, you're actually fixing whatever that problem was, or the issue, or the, you know, long-term effects.
The paradox, in a sense, is that the organizations that focuses on earning money earn less money than the organizations that focuses on investing in the people.
Yes.
Which is the result of the research done by Frederick Laloux in his book, The Reinventing Organizations. It's very clear that if the leadership is so mature when it comes to defining what is leadership, and they invent a culture where that is possible to lead people according to this way, these organizations earn much more money than the ones who focuses on earning money, which is called the profitability paradox.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we're going to talk about the differences in society. So Christopher, people can reach you on LinkedIn. They can reach you on via your website. Why don't you give folks the website address on so they can learn more about you, learn more about your offerings and your services and all that you have to offer.
So that would be femalemanagement.com.
Wonderful. That's femalemanagement.com. Or you can find him on LinkedIn under Christopher Weber first. You can Google him. He is out there and he has got some great content, great material, and his expertise on female leadership and diversity is outstanding. So definitely give him a look up, and we're going to take, like I said, a quick break. We're going to talk about differences in society, looking at Western society and what we can do to grow better together. I am Erica Gifford Mills, and you are listening to Get Rooted Radio, living it up, loving it up, letting it go. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Are you ready to shift your life into overdrive and stop wasting your time? If so, then I want to invite you right now to the Body Regeneration Online Academy with me, Tracy L. In a world filled with so much information, you can get overloaded and confused, left feeling like you've tried everything and still no results. If this is you, then this platform is for you to help you step into your power, your intuition, and gain clarity. You will learn simple tools that you can use as you walk down the street, and I will teach you how to grow a stronger connection to the God consciousness. Imagine having me as your coach, shifting you, uplifting you, empowering you every week, and most of all, helping you stay connected so you can navigate your life's journey with ease and grace. Nothing will be able to get in your way. Plus, you will have a community filled with souls just like you to pick you up when you fall down and support you on your wins. No one can go this journey alone. If you are ready for your live activations, check me out at tracylclark.com and join the TLC Body Regeneration Online Academy now.
Are you ready to manifest the highest version of your life? Then let Adrian Cobb guide you on your own personal soul quest. Every year, Adrian hosts 2 7-day virtual solstice quests and a 21-day soul quest to create a quickening in your soul's evolution. During the quest, your heart unravels and you remember the depth of your love. The essence of who you are is always wanting to be fulfilled. To learn more, visit mywildmagic.com. That is mywildmagic.com.
We'd love to hear from you on Transformation Talk Radio and live on Facebook. Call into the show, 1-800-930-2819.
We're back. back on Get Rooted Radio with Erica Gifford Mills, living it up, letting it go. Don't forget to visit GetRootedRadio.com to listen to a replay of this episode, sign up for helpful tips, and learn about upcoming events. That's GetRootedRadio.com. Welcome back to my guest, Christopher Weber First. Thank you so much for being on the show with us today.
Thank you.
And we are discussing female leadership during today's episode. And before I jump in, we were kind of talking during the break, and one of the things that I had mentioned is I have seven sisters and one brother. And we laugh because you were talking about earlier how it's what we learn. And in our household, it was, you can do whatever you want, you know, don't question it. And we are all very much, don't tell me I can't do something. That's a sure sign that I'm going to go do that because you just told me I couldn't. And my mother was always much, you know, be a lady, because we were running around climbing trees, doing all this stuff. And my dad would walk past after she'd said, be a lady. She goes, don't be a lady, be a legend. And I was right, like, yeah, wow, that's cool. Right. So it is, you know, it is very much learned on what you're doing and then whether or not you can break free or move forward with that. But in different societies, you see different things. And that's what I kind of want to get into in this segment is, if we focus on Western societies for the moment, where are your observations in daily life that female leadership is emerging?
Well, you know, the Dalai Lama, he said that the world would be saved by Western women. And what he meant by that was what we have been discussing, that introducing these female values into solving problems in another way, where the focus was only on earning money. It was focusing on how can we be better together. So how is this evolving? It's what we see now is the search for a different way of working together. And if you think about the Generation Z and the millennials, you know, after 2 years of lockdown, after 2 years of pandemic, they come back to workplace after sitting in their home office and say, we don't want to work this way that we used to do. We want to work cross-functional, not in silos. We want to work better together. We want to have better food. I want to have a better office with more plants and art. And it feels like I want to be with people who feel like my family, because then I feel much better and I work much better. But in order to do this, we need those female qualities. It's not that we as men don't have them, but it's kind of strange that as soon as you enter the workplace, you're a different person than when you leave. So it's about bringing the whole of you, the holistic way of thinking is bringing the whole you to your workplace, which a lot of people think we can't do that today. So, yes. But particularly in the Western societies, we're now talking the issue of diversity, inclusion, and ethics has really become such an issue. It's all over the place. It's kind of on every tongue. And in Norway, since we introduced the 40% female quota in 2003 by law, we are world champions when it comes to diversity and inclusion. So that's the one thing. But since I do work with female leaders globally, South Africa, in the Middle East, in Turkey, in Greece, in China, in India, hearing, and also in the States, you know, when I was in Louisiana and I went and I had this keynote speak about what it was like to women, and I was standing there in front of 150 women with their narrative, Afro-American women with mothers and grandmothers who were slaves. And hearing their story, I was saying, what the belief do I know? It's like we're living in this bubble and we think we know everything. Basically, we know nothing. And to hear the stories of a Chinese young girl who came to Germany to take her PhD, and hearing her history of what is it like to grow up in China, where actually as a girl, we don't want girls, we want boys.
Yeah.
And just to learn that and growing up in Turkey, it's this voice of the patriarch, which is telling you, as a woman, you are not as much worth as a man, and sometimes you are being told this directly and very often indirectly. So the image that you have of yourself growing up as a woman, I cannot be me. It's not okay. I have to adjust. I have to adapt, and that is why Simone de Beauvoir said, "You're not born a woman; you become one." And if you look at it cross culturally, over the globe, it's the same stories that we do have this inner patriarch. We have this inner voice. but it's much more prevalent in not so much developed countries, like in Africa, like in the Middle East, like in China. And this is what it is like. So I think we need to have a global focus on this. And the best way to solve all the problems in the world is to see to that every woman becomes the education that she wants and
absolutely
is able to take care of herself.
And I think that is so important, because in many, and I'm not saying this as a blanket statement, but we get so focused and wrapped up in our own lives. And where in maybe in the Western society, we see things like, oh, we have it so bad. And you just want to shake somebody and say, you have it pretty good right now compared to a global perspective, right? Yeah. And how do we truly get to the point where we can make that a global effort and a global responsibility and make it so we are coming together as one? And I think there's consequences for the male gender on that and in how we make those differences.
You know, you're pointing to something that I have become much more aware of lately. Is that although my focus has been, and the title of my book is The Future is Female, The Art of New Living, we have to work with this on two different axes. And the one is to that women take care of themselves and are giving them opportunities to do that. And the other thing is, which I've experienced, it won't happen if we as men don't realize what does that mean for us, for as child, for society, if we don't allow women to live up to their full potential and allow them to do that in leadership positions. And
yes,
and so many men, they're not aware of it. They don't know because they never heard it. They have never heard the stories of women. They don't know the qualities of female leadership. And we know that from research from McKinsey, Women Matter. You know, it's written in big letters. You should do this and you should do it now. So why isn't it happening? Yeah, because they don't know, which means that these men need to be taught. And if you don't do it, I have said it, you're not doing a job, you should get fired. Because your company and the people working for you are losing out so much because you are not following what modern science says about introducing more female leaders.
Yeah,
done the right way.
Well, and it's that that resistance, right? When you have a dynamic like female leadership emerging, there's bound to be that resistance, because sometimes it can be interpreted as, if I let them go ahead of me, that means I go down. And,
yeah,
you know, you sooner or later, you're going to have that resistance because the perception isn't a correct perception, right? I mean, and yeah, I hate to say that because your perception is your perception, but it's not, that's not what it means, right? So what are your thoughts and really expectations on that? That if we are getting to the point where we're having female leadership, we have those, you know, the equality, the diversity, the inclusion, where do the male gender stand with that understanding that it just because they are rising up doesn't mean you're getting stomped on to be put down?
Yeah, well, it's not only perception. This is what happens. And I've been doing a lot of female leadership programs and through this coaching and through knowing how to present yourself, presenting a narrative, programs that last for a year. And these women partaking in this, they really develop. And wow, this is amazing. I'm going to go back to work and I'm going to change things. I'm going to transform things. But when they come back, nothing has changed in the organization. And what they have learned, they cannot apply because the organization are not open to it. And that's the failure that organizations do, because they don't commit themselves enough to explain to the whole organization, well, now we are doing this, but we're doing it for a reason. We're doing it as a part of organizational development. It's the right way to do it. And we're not doing it because there's a quota. We're doing it, it's the right thing to do because we want to attract the best people. And when it's done like this, we know that from Norway, the guys are so happy that the organization are taking care of the women too. So the employer brand of company doing like this, it becomes the most sought after workplace, because the word spreads around. Look at these guys, they are doing an amazing job.
And when, and I can't, I mean, I personally, and I feel like I'm a broken record, but we really do, we get someplace, we move forward, we have better outcomes when we look at the whole, right? When everybody is lifted up, when we are working together, and you do have that more transformational outlook than if we do it as, what am I going to do? How does this make me better? You know, how does this make us better? And I feel that it's learning, right? It's a learning curve, and people need to be open to that and receptive to that in order to be taught that.
You know, I mean, coaching comes from the States, and the most amazing coach ever was Stephen Covey. He used to be the executive coach of Microsoft. And I also worked with Microsoft, and I was a Microsoft Gold Certified sales executive. And that's when I was introduced to coaching. and the work of Stephen Covey it's really about the eight habits of effective people. What does that mean? Yeah, it means that you find your inner voice as a leader, to find the balance between your ego needs and the desires and values of the soul, which in my language, the desires and values of the soul are the female qualities, because the qualities of the female are the collective way of thinking, that we are in this together, and let's just solve this together. And it's interesting to look at science, because it's, like I said before, it's been proven again and again and again and again. So we can ask ourselves the question, why isn't it happening? A lot of people are talking about diversity, which they should do it, but they don't do it strategically right, which is why strategic female talent management programs, they fail, and they create a lot of problems, like you were pointing to, that the men feel that they're losing out.
And that's what we want to try to avoid. But we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we will wrap up our discussion on the struggles faced and how to create a healthy work-life balance. This is Get Rooted Radio with Erica Gifford Mills. Living it up, loving it up, letting it go. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Optimize your breast cancer screening without any radiation or pain. Effective, sensitive, and widely used thermal imaging in Europe is now available to you here in the U.S. Using state-of-the-art FDA-approved camera, Eastside's first and only breast thermography clinic is now open in Bellevue. Safe, sensitive, low-cost, no referrals needed. Contact Holistic Medical Center at 425-451-0404 or on the web drdarvish.com.
If you've ever had a broken heart, you know how painful that can be, and how long it can sometimes take to heal it. I'm Megan Edge, author of The Heart's Journey, Healing Hearts, Oracle Cards, and Guidebook, published with Balboa Press and Hay House. In The Heart's Journey, I share with you my own heartbreak and how I healed it through the beautiful hearts that found me in nature. From taking photographs of these hearts for myself, I've created this beautiful toolkit, which includes the guidebook, which has my story, how to work with oracle cards as a healing tool, and the story of each of these hearts as they cross my path. I've also created a beautiful journal. There's a pen, a bookmark, and of course, the 42 Healing Hearts Oracle Cards. You can order The Heart's Journey, Healing Hearts Oracle Cards, and Guidebook through my website, meganedge.ca, through Balboa Press, Amazon, and many other places online, or your local shops. I look forward to hearing about your heart's healing.
Do you find yourself being busy, busy, yet you just don't feel all that productive or fulfilled at the end of the day? Tune into Coffee with the Universe with me, Laura Goldstein, every third Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. Stop reacting to life and be more peaceful and on purpose instead. Visit www.cwtu.net for show details.
Transformation Talk Radio. Welcome back to Get Rooted Radio with Erica Gifford Mills. Living it up, loving it up, letting it go. If you missed any of the information during the last segments, go to getrootedradio.com. That's getrootedradio.com to listen to the replay. Don't forget to subscribe, sign up for tips and special events and pricing for upcoming coaching sessions at getrootedradio.com. Welcome back to my guest, Christopher Weber. First, tell listeners how they can learn more about your services and reach out to you, Christopher.
Well, I do one-to-one coaching based on this concept, how not to lose yourself in a male environment. So it's a structure where we go through finding out who you are based on your core values, which is an assessment. And then we work, what's your life purpose? Because you need to know why you're here. Like Mark Twain said, the two most important days in your life is the first one when you're born. The second one is when you find out why. And when you find out why, based on your core value, you really get connected to your autonomous, conscious, grown-up self. So another thing is, of course, we work with this shadow king, the invisible force that holds women back, to realize that you have an internalized voice that always tries to keep you in your comfort zone. And whenever you're trying to want to get out of the comfort zone, this internalized voice to say, stop, don't do it, which makes you afraid of trying new stuff, which is makes you afraid of taking new steps and not have the which is an issue for many women, is the self-confidence or insecurity. And these are all internalized voices created by this inner voice. That as a woman, you have to behave in a certain way to be accepted by other women and by other men. But it's just a mental construct, and we need to deconstruct it. And you need to train the muscle, which I have a method for our doing, to realize this is not who I am. I am another one. I am the strong force, which is a female one, that I want to bring into the world. So doing this, and we do different exercises. And of course, in coaching, you have to be pragmatic because everyone is different. And what you bring to the coaching is always your story. So based on that, it takes normally six sessions. Every session lasts for 2 hours, which can be divided any way that you want as a client. And of course, then I also do a female challenge management program, which is based on our experience from Norway. Since we got the 40% female quota, how can you find the right woman to find in the right place, which is makes sense for the whole organization? And that's a strategic process of finding how does that woman fit into the culture of the company in that particular place. And that's where most organizations, they don't take this serious enough to find the candidates in this position that is the right one and support her in any way.
We all need to learn how to banish that shadow king. So definitely Google Christopher Weber first, F-U-R-S-T, and you can find out all about his services and how you can reach him and work with him. Because that is, it's something that we need to learn to banish, for sure.
So, and of course, I also do keynote speaking. You know, like yes. I said, I'm in the UN, and it is my passion to bring this knowledge to the world, because to convey knowledge about this has become my life purpose, because it's, like I said, it's the most important issue in the world right now.
Many of your articles, Christopher, you know, and on your website and everything, you say leading from the emerging female future. Yeah. What does this mean, and why is it so important?
Well, if we look at the human evolution, which is a transformation to a high level of consciousness, and it's a paradigm shift. And through a paradigm shift, something new will evolve. But we cannot say what it is. If you look at human evolution, no one could predict the internet age. No one could predict the transformation from hunters and gatherers to steadfast and so on. So something new emerges. We can't tell what that is. And that's what we're experiencing now, to a high level of consciousness. And leading from the emerging future, we know that there's a new future coming. And in that, we need to use and utilize and evolve and transform into this higher consciousness based on the female qualities, because that's what is needed to solve the problems for this whole planet. But this has to be a collective process, because this is not something that someone can come to you and tell you how to do that, because that will not work. That's why I say leadership is not a person. Leadership is a system where everybody works together sharing the same values, sharing the same purpose. We have something to offer to the world that the world needs. And you're proud of it because you want it, you love it. And you go to work and there's no stress. You know, just like going to work when you're full of stress, it definitely works against the goals you should work with. It works against your creativity. It works against innovation. It works against being better together. So like this whole transformation, which we call self-organization or democratic autonomous organizations, you know, where people can decide for themselves what I want to work with, whom do I want to work? And if you allow people, if you trust them enough to say, hey, you know much better how to do that work than I am as the CEO, you do it because I trust you, because that is my job as a leader, is to trust you. And when you do this the right way, magic happens.
Right. And it's just like when you look at your strengths and weaknesses when you're trying to lead a team, right? Just because you need to know what your strengths and weaknesses are of your team, because then you can work together. Perhaps one person is better at something, so, you know, they're going to take the lead on this. And that's what it's about, is that, you know, you don't, yes, do you want somebody, a team that works cohesively together? Absolutely. But you need people who have those differences and are good with the differences, because that is what makes the team rise up together.
I really appreciate you mentioning this because that's a tool that I use. It's called the strengths-based leadership from Gallup. And you can go on this, and you can do this test for yourself to find out what your strengths are and become aware of them and how can you use them in your leadership position. And you can do that exercise for the whole team. And you can divide it into these four sections of strategic thinking, executing, ideation, and executing relationships. And you can find out where are the strengths of the team so you can support each other according to the strengths, which is something I would highly recommend. And I do that with every team that I work with.
And it is, and I mean, it is important because one, if you're having a problem with a project or whatever it might be, you know that you can reach out to somebody else and be like, hey, you're really good at this. Can you assist me? Not necessarily do it for me, but can you assist me? Show me how this is done. And then you are teaching one another and you're growing together and you're empowering one another to express those strengths, right? To be proud of those strengths and embrace your own weaknesses so that you can learn and grow.
Think what would happen in an organization if you experience as an employee, and we were talking about the work-life balance.
Yes. Yes. And that's what actually the next question I wanted to ask you about is, how do you create a healthy work-life balance?
Well, again, going back to Norway, we have a lot of experience in that. And basically, it's that if you don't say what you won't get it. So it's about saying, in order to do my work, I need to work like this. And it's in the service of the organization, that leader should say, yes, of course, what's the problem? And we know this from Norway, that women, of course, we're talking different frame conditions, because in Norway, the first year, you're being fully paid in your workplace. But the thing is that if you organize it in a way, when you have a parental leave, you share your job with someone else, because it's important that you have the opportunity to go back to work 50%. But you take your baby with you, or you can breastfeed her, and you can go, which is what they do. and you can work from home. There's all kinds of ways to support a woman to make a career and a sustainable long-term success in the company and make a career.
Yeah, and
but as a woman, you have to say this. And of course, then it's the job as a leader to say, yes, let's do it.
And I think that's important. It's if you never ask the question, the answer will always be no.
Of course.
So, I mean, it, you know, the worst that's going to be said is no. And it's one of the best things and probably the worst things I taught my child when he was a very young age. And I'm like, if you don't ask, the answer is always going to be no. So what's the harm in asking? Which then he asked a lot of stuff, but,
of course.
But I'm also very proud of that because you don't, I mean, if you want to do something and you're getting upset and frustrated and defeated because you're not doing it, well, did you ask? Did you try? What did you do to try to make that a reality? And if you did nothing, that's on you. You know, you have to ask the question and ask for what you want.
So another very important point is, if you want to make a career as a woman, which you can, you need to choose the right partner, of course. So what I always recommend when we do these coaching and exercises, the value assessment and the life purpose, do it with your husband, do it with a partner, because then you grow together and you find common ground to share. Yes. And just a very simple task, that you organize an online calendar, and it's your obligation that everything that you are doing, you have to put into this calendar, because it's about planning.
Yes.
It sounds banal, but it's really so important.
It is. And I could continue talking to you all evening, but our show is coming to an end. So I just want to thank you so much, Christopher, for being on with us today, especially at this late hour for you. And I really look forward to seeing you in the States in August. So thank you so very much.
Thank you, too. I'm not so excited. I cannot go to sleep. So, Erica, I'm so happy that you reached out and that we can share this to make this world a better place.
Thank you so much. And I want to thank you all for tuning in to Get Rooted Radio. If you missed any part of today's episode or you want to listen again, go to GetRootedRadio.com for the podcast. And don't forget to tune in the first and third Monday of each month at 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Central, and 2 p.m. Pacific right here on Transformation Talk Radio. Thank you so much for tuning in. Have an amazing day. And I'm looking forward to the next time on Get Rooted Radio with Erica Gifford Mills. Living it up, loving it up, letting it go. Goodbye, everybody.
Thank you for listening to Get Rooted Radio with Erica Gifford Mills, living it up, loving it up, and letting it go. Visit GetRootedRadio.com if you've missed any part of this hit show, and tune in on TransformationTalkRadio.com to live fearlessly in your more and powerfully rooted in your unlimited yes. For more information and to work with Erica directly, visit GetRootedRadio.com. That's GetRootedRadio.com, and get ready to live it up, love it up, and let it go.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.